Hey everyone, my name's Tim, I'm a recovering alcoholic. And my home group is the Saturday Morning Awareness Group. And I'm grateful to be here. I'm nervous. And I was thinking a lot about relationships, and I know it's 8 and 9. And I think it's like my experience, strength, and hope of the relationship is to know, for me to know, and it says, like, I have to figure out how I did relationships and where I learned relationships, and that's what it talks about in the big book, and that's what my sponsor talked to me about, and that's what it talks a lot more about it in the 12 and 12 than it does the big book. And early on in my recovery, I don't know why, but my sponsor really just drilled relationships into my life, because I didn't know how to do relationships, you see. I knew how to be friends and kind of get in and out of friendships. And I knew how to keep a distance yet still be liked. But what I didn't know how to do was how to do intimacy. It wasn't part of the experience that I had as a child. So if I go back to my childhood and the learning that I had, you know, coming from a divorce, coming from pretty self-centered people, did the best they could, perhaps, maybe, but not with me, you know, not with a very sensitive little boy. And what the predominant memory that I always have is I spend the day with my dad all day. I go to bed. I wake up. I'm woken up out of bed early maybe not early, 10, 11 o'clock at night. Mom's crying. Dad pulls me out. I'm 4. And he says, so they each have me. Tim's going with me. They each have one arm. The other has the other arm. Pulling me. And my dad asks the question, who do you want to live with? And it was a setup because my dad knew that I was going to choose him. He knew it because that's who I spent all my time with. So I said, I want to live with you, Dad. And then the next thing I know is my mom's on the floor crying, saying, you know, Timmy. And then the next thing I know is I'm being pulled out into a car, and I'm sitting in the car by myself waiting for whatever has to happen to happen. And the next thing I realize is I wake up back in my bed to live with my mom for the rest of my life. So here's a little 4-year-old that was asked a question that in no way was he capable of answering, nor should have he been answering. I chose what I wanted, and I didn't get what I wanted. And that's the story of my life with relationships. That's the fundamental place that it started. And what I learned was, don't trust anyone. Don't put your hands in anyone else's life, because they're not going to come through for you. And if you do choose, you still won't get what you want. So then I just lived the life of not choosing. Just wouldn't choose what I wanted. I would wait for you to choose me. And then when you chose me, I would go along with whatever it was that you had chosen. And that made it really safe for me. Paradoxically, I guess. And then when I found alcohol for me at that point, and drugs at that point, I guess, I was young. And what I watched was everyone else having a good time. Everyone got remarried. Alcohol was such a big part of their life. And what I could see was everybody was having fun. And it was completely in relationship with alcohol. So my assumption was, get into a relationship with alcohol. Everyone else seems to be having a good time at it. So it starts really early for me. And I remember the first night that I got drunk, it all happened. I had my first sexual experience that night with a woman. I felt that feeling that you got, that oftentimes people talked about, like, I have arrived. The space between not being wanted and being wanted was closed. Alcohol provided that for me. I felt wanted. I felt loved. I felt happy. And I felt part of. And that's what alcohol brought to me. gave me the ability to feel part of. Of course, it quickly dismantles. And for me, at that young age, I find myself in treatment and a couple times, and I get into a relationship in treatment because it seems like the rational thing to do. And of course, it's another. It's my second sexual experience. So for me, I'm marrying this girl. That's how I thought. I'm marrying this girl. White fence, here it is. I'm marrying this girl. And, you know, long story short with that, I stayed sober a couple years with that. She ended up, cheating on me. And that's important because we'll see a pattern here. Cheating on me with her boss, you know, yada, yada, yada. I start to drink again. And, you know, in my teens, 19, 20, I start to drink. I stayed sober 2 years and I start working at a club. And this club is, it's Pure Platinum. It's a gentleman's club. I'm a bar back there. And another time I walk into this place and I was like, I'm 19 years old. And I'm like, I've arrived. Like, this is my fucking Mecca. And I'm looking around and I can feel this electricity in this club, and I can feel, you know, the generating of fun. And I was able to look to my right and I saw a man that was like 27 and 28. And I looked at him and I'll never forget my thought process was, like, God, how long is this guy going to stay here? You know, how long is this guy going to be here at this club? I go through multiple relationships at this club, you know, but my primary relationship is with alcohol. Because it was my love. Like I realized, like, this becomes my love. This becomes the warmth. This becomes, you know, my home. This becomes, it never let me down. You know, it's always there. Of course, I was destroying my life in the process. And though it was actually supportive in the process. To make a long story short with that, multiple relationships in this place. But, you know, and yet another one that betrayed and left me. You know, another one that cheated on me. And I say, I'm pulling the same trash can out. I'm 27 at this point. And I look up, same trash can out, different trash can to the big trash can outside. And I looked out and I was like, oh, I'm that guy. Except 9 years passed. And I'm none the better. And the very best it's going to get is the way it is now. And the way it is now sucks. That was my truth. And I got sober to 1997, September 11th, 1997. And I got sober. You know, that was not the day I got sober, but within 2 weeks I had gotten sober. And then I started grinding the grind of Alcoholics Anonymous. And it was a beautiful ride for me because I was exhausted at 27 years old. I was depleted spiritually and emotionally and mentally. And the one thing that I truly coveted was being in a relationship, you know, with other human beings and with a woman was something that I always strived for. I couldn't manage it, though, because my primary relationship was always with alcohol. I get sober. My sponsor drills. First sponsor, I'm in the clubhouse. He says, hey, you got to get out of this clubhouse. I'm 9 months in. He gets me into a place called the Express Group. And I start to, and he says, I want you to build relationships with men. I want you to get a group. And I did. I put my hand out. I got a group. All those people today, oddly enough, which is strange, they're all still sober. We were a bunch of kids that didn't have educations, didn't have careers, didn't have girlfriends or wives, didn't have much. Except each other. And here we are 27 years later, and I can't give you all the names. I could, all these, this little core group that I had hung out with, one owns his own accounting firm, you know, one is a lawyer, one owns his aviation company, I have whatever it is that I do in the world, everyone's whatever they deem to be successful. All of us have been in marriages, long-term relationships. Some of us have kids. Some of us don't. And that was the result of a strong foundation in Alcoholics Anonymous in the very beginning. And the way my my sponsor would grind me was, he said, take, the suggestion that I took was, I took 2 years off from relationship because all I really knew was whatever I learned at Pure Platinum and whatever it had taught me, you know, and that taught me, it's like Sodom and Gomorrah in there for me, it was like that. And I said, I have to take some time to get back to center with all of this. And I did take that time. And as we worked through the 8-step, get all the amends, get all the names down to take amends, start to make the amends, clear the way, learn how I do relationships. I was in my second and a half year of sobriety. I met a woman. My sponsor was guiding me the whole entire way. And this woman, I did it the way that he told me to do it. And I remember I would want to do things like, hey, I'd like to stay home tonight and not, but I would talk to him about this stuff and just spend time with her instead of doing my sponsorship stuff. And he's like, yeah, well, you won't have her if you do that. And he was clear to me about the importance of the values and the principles behind the steps. So he guided me and he coached me. And I did that the right way. And at the same time, I had to let go of a lot of other, some other things that weren't necessary. Like pornography isn't good for me because it doesn't help me foster relationships. It takes away from relationships for me. And any of those extracurricular activities take away from relationships for me. So he guided me and he guided me. And after 2 years of being together, we got engaged. After 2 years of being engaged, we got married. And I'm 35 at the time. And he's, continuing to foster me through this relationship. And I started to go to a group called the Men's Independence Group. I spoke to him about it, and he had relapsed at the time. And the Men's Independence Group, because I learned he taught me how to build relationships. So I went right in and started building relationships. The Men's Independence Group supported me through that entire process. We were talking to Thomas Brandon, Dick Shields. We had some heavy hitters in that group. And it saved my life at that point in my life. I'm married at this point. The relationship is okay. It's getting rocky though. It's starting to spin. I'm starting to spin. It's starting to spin. We do some work, whatever that may look like. And I do a ton of work. And we make it through some periods. And then we have our first child. Our first child, Ethan is his name. And the relationship's good because we have something else to focus on. And we didn't have to focus on the relationship anymore. We got to focus on Ethan. I was clear in my mind about not creating for Ethan what was created for me. And that was giving him a job to take care of his parents so that he would be okay, which was my job. That's what I was taught. Take care of my parents. You'll be okay. Be the people pleaser. You'll be okay. Which I did that job well. We did that job well. We did that job well. And then we had another job, Lucy. And at the same time, I'm separating from Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm pulling away. I move. And because of the way I learned how to do relationships, and it could, like I said, I'm in bed, dad, I choose you, boom, not to live with my dad and only to see my dad once a month. It was, or once, maybe once or twice a year. It was a sharp cutoff. That's how I pretty much did every relationship. Be in Alcoholics Anonymous, be super connected, be super part of. And then when I leave, it's like I died. And people are wondering like, hey, what happened to Tim? Hey, have you seen Tim? Hey, have you seen Tim? You seen Tim? You seen Tim? And I'm sponsoring people at the time. And I remember I was sponsoring Ted at the time, and he, because I disappeared, I wasn't around for Ted. I did make amends for that. I wasn't around for Ted. And he came to me and goes, hey, I'm gonna release you as my sponsor. It was very loving. And I thought, as you should, release me as your sponsor. And that period of time that I wasn't going to meetings, which was basically about, I would say, 6 years that I didn't go to meetings, my life started to implode. However, I couldn't attach the fact that I wasn't going to meetings to the fact that my life was imploding, because I was too far away. So if someone said, hey, go to a meeting, I would be like, I'm not going to drink. Not recognizing that it was the principles that kept me together in the first place, and the relationships of Alcoholics Anonymous that kept me together. I couldn't see it though. I lived an isolated life. And the family became my higher power, or the work became my higher power. Whatever it was I thought that I was creating at the time became my higher power. And this relationship started to crumble. And I did not want to live. The pain was excruciating. And I couldn't be okay with what was happening to the kids. And I didn't know what to do. And I started going back to meetings. And at that time, I got into Al-Anon. I got an Al-Anon sponsor. I started working the steps in Al-Anon. And I started to get better. I started to get better. And I started to really work on this relationship with my wife at the time. And I really worked on the relationship with my kids. Not to make them responsible for what was going on in our life. And doing my absolute best to let them know that everything was going to be okay, even though I didn't know the outcome. The outcome of that situation was it didn't work after 18 years. Didn't work. There was not anything that I could do to make that work. And I had done it all. And I'm a guy that does have a team of people around him. I have friends, you know, therapists, breathwork therapists. There's a team of people around me all the time these days. And I had done all I could in that relationship, and I just stayed in the books. I stayed in the principles. I stayed with what you guys told me. I stayed with love. I made a pact in this divorce, dignity and grace. I did not have to make amends for any behaviors during the course of this divorce. No behaviors that were on my part that I have to make amends for, because I stayed in the book. I stayed in all of the steps. 8 and 9, my sponsor kept grinding me through. 8 and 9, forgiveness, love, forgiveness, love, forgiveness, love, love, forgiveness, love, forgiveness. Spirituality, of course. I was doing stuff that I was supposed to do, and we made it through that. I made it through that. She made it through that. Kids made it through that. And the outcome was as good as the outcome could be. And I'll share this. This was just a PS, and I'll get back. So last Tuesday, I had come out of a sauna in the backyard. I had come out and I was looking around, and I was like, "Wow, the backyard's complete." I'm looking around and I'm thinking, this was a year and a half project. I was like, "I'm grateful." I walked into the house. We got divorced 3 years ago in March. All right. She moved out 3 years ago in March, divorced 2 years ago in March, right now. And this is last week. I came out, I walked into the house and I looked around. You guys would know this now, but had you not known this, if you guys would have come into my house, you would look around and you would say, you would have some questions like, hey, who's that family in the picture? Hey, when did you get married? Why is there a wedding picture up there? And you know, I just kind of put my hands on my head, and I was like, fuck, I did some bypass surgery here. I fixed the outside. I did not handle the inside. And the house showed me that I fixed the outside. And I can show you the outside and get you mesmerized by the outside, regardless of what the inside looks like. And the deep dive is the inside. And it showed me in that moment of time, like, oh, just like my childhood, I'm still in a space where I don't get both. I don't get the inside and the outside. I get the inside or the outside. And I called my sponsor, and he's like, it's time to carry wood, buddy. He said, dig in. And he goes, what's the next step? Paint the house. Get the pictures down. Let's roll. And that's what I did. Painters came over. Paint the house. Get the pictures down. Pack up the closet that still has clothes in it. And let's go. And so that's what I did. Come in. Starts on Monday. Come in and get this stuff done. And I'm in a relationship now. And this relationship was a different relationship than the one that I had been in previously, because I didn't have any real standards in the relationship I was in previously. I'd done it the best that I could, except there wasn't a standard. This relationship I came into with a set of principles: sobriety, spirituality, age-defying health, travel, family. That's the principles. That's my boundaries. My sponsor helped me do that, creates a boundary system. And I float everything through my boundary system. If you're not in line with my boundary system, it's all good. I don't care what people do. I'm not hanging out with people that are going to strip clubs. I don't care that you do that. It's not my business. It's just not where I'm going to put my energy. I'm going to be around people that are going to be able to feed and that I'm going to be able to eat from. And maybe they'll be able to eat from me. That's what you guys taught me. That's how you guys taught me to stay in this program in a way that has integrity and character, is what I was being built. And this relationship, you know, a lot of this stuff, the road less traveled versus the road traveled, like, this relationship's different. So the road, show you how, what you guys are teaching me. I'm driving home, I'm talking to my girl, it's about 2 minutes, and then she says, we hadn't talked all day, and she says, hey, Livy wants to watch a show, I'll call you back. So I say, okay, I got a lot of different okays. This one's fuck you, okay? But I got a lot of okays, because it's like a period. Okay, like, okay, okay. I got a ton of them. It's my favorite word, quite frankly. And that one was fuck you. Was that okay? Was that okay? I go home, and I think about road less travel, road travel. Do I want to create the same thing I had, or do I want to create something different? And I sit, and I think for a second. I'm like, how am I feeling? How am I feeling? And I'm like, oh, I feel sad. And I feel chosen over. Just like I did as a little boy. The same experience. I feel Chad. And the road less traveled is to say, so I text, hey, I want you to know, I feel sad and ashamed. Sad because I wasn't chosen over, and ashamed because I'm not good enough. However, I don't need anything from you. I need to be honest with you about how I feel. That's me taking care of me. Because my sponsor says, if you don't have a relationship with yourself, you're not going to be able to have a relationship with anybody else. You first, Timmy. Take care of you. Love you. And fortunately, because we're both into the work, this was just the bonus. She said, you're right, I'm sorry. That wasn't necessary, though. The only thing that was necessary was me taking care of myself. That's the road less traveled for me. The road more traveled for me is to say nothing, stack the evidence. Stack the evidence. And the evidence I'm looking for is, I can't trust you. The evidence I'm looking for is, you're going to betray me. That's the evidence that I'm looking for, because those are my experiences. That's where I came from. And I was able to, in that moment, start to change my belief system, which is what you guys are teaching me. Build character. Learn to love. Learn to be a part of. Be honest. Get integrity. And as a result of that, it builds a different relationship. And that's growth for me. Many years later, still learning how to be an active part of Alcoholics Anonymous. And that first step around honestly, the principle of the first step is, If I don't want my life to be unmanageable and I don't want to feel powerless, honesty is the answer to that particular problem for me. And that keeps me in integrity with whomever it is that I have the opportunity to be in a relationship. Because every single thing that I'm involved with is a relationship. Take you to your car, I'll tell you your life. Walk from here to that door, I'll tell you your life. Because that's about relationship. How we do anything is how we do everything. My relationship with money isn't any different than my relationship with a man or a woman. I got to develop intimacy through Alcoholics Anonymous, and I developed it with men first because that was the gateway that my sponsor taught me down and still continues. And then I'm able, because there's no difference between man and a woman except the physicality for some. But that's the only difference. So if I learn mental and emotional and spiritual intimacy, physicality is easy. If I don't learn those, it's all a wash anyway, because the relationship will be dismantled. And the interesting thing about it is I'll dismantle the relationship because I won't be in the book. I won't be in my meetings. I won't be following through with what it is that you guys have told me to do on a consistent basis. I want to be the one that I'd like to be looking at instead of the one that's fallen through the cracks. And that was my life. Last Saturday, I didn't get any sleep last week. I'm writing a book. It's a lot of stuff going on. And I'm up all week. I wasn't feeling good. It's literally 2:15 in the morning. And I know the last time I looked at the clock is 2:15. At 3 o'clock, the phone rings. And it's my son. His name is Ethan, and he's 13. And it's my son. And he's crying and hyperventilating. Without a beep, pants are on, in the car. What's going on? What's happening? And he had a stomach ache. I picked him up from his friend's house. We go to the store. We do whatever it takes to get what it takes to help him feel better. We go to bed at like 6 a.m. I get up, 7:30. And I just always, because it's the other thing, I'm a good ex-husband. I text my ex-wife. I tell her exactly, hey, this is what happened to Ethan last night. I just want to let you know. You know what I mean? I want to be in integrity and give you a heads up. And she goes, oh, I'm so sorry. I know that you were sick, that you had to go pick him up. And I said, sorry. I said, it's a fucking privilege to be a dad and to be able to take care of my son. There's nothing to be sorry about. I would do this if I fucking was in California. And I thought for a second, that's God's relationship with me. You know, that's God's relationship with me. All I have to do is ask. All I have to do is show up. And God's there, putting on his pants, or they're already on, or whatever, and he's rushing out the door or standing side by side with me and supporting me. And I thought, holy Christmas, that's what I get to do with my son. And at 13 years of age, and if the same thing would have happened to me, I know for a fact I wouldn't have called my dad. I know it for a fact. I was already on my own. I was already a lone soldier. I may have called my mom. Maybe. More than likely, I would have huffed it out. Because that's what I've always done. Not him, though. Like, I haven't taught that to him. I've taught him that I'll be there for him. And I've taught her that I'll be there for her. And so would his mom, to be quite honest with you. She would do the exact same thing. And when I think about relationships, where I've come from to where I am, it's all God that has given me the opportunity to be in loving relationships with the human beings that I have the opportunity to be loving relationships with. And I was like, I have long-term relationships in here. Ted, Steve, John, we're talking long-term, 20 years. These relationships started out like, hey, what's up? Hey, what's going on? To screwing around, to mock laughter, which is talking about Thomas Brandon, to like deep talks about life. People that I can rely upon, talk to, speak to, that love me. I did not have that. And I do not have that out of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I was one of the ones that did go through. God bless me that I didn't drink. I wanted to not live, though. And I got back into Alcoholics Anonymous. And what did I do? I got back into relationships. And what happened was Ted welcomed me with open arms. Made me feel welcome at the Saturday morning awareness group, and I'm grateful for that. And I got to make amends for checking out like I always fucking do. And I get to one day at a time, keep continuing the check-in. And with love and with forgiveness and with all of the other 10 principles and steps that are in Alcoholics Anonymous, I get to, one day at a time, up to this very moment, have an amazing life that's connected, rich, deep, thoughtful, full, loving, forgiving, kind, and special. This is what Alcoholics Anonymous has taught me. And this is what the great mentors and leaders have taught me in these rooms. Thank you for asking me to share. Thank you, guys.